The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
The scripture reading today is from James chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Thanks, Kylie.
Good morning. Occasionally when I was growing up, my family would go away for the weekend with several other families and would camp on the bank of the Burnett River. Now, it was always a fun time, and one of our favourite pastimes was paddling in canoes on the river. There was always several canoes and kayaks, and we would just share them around. Often in the morning, after we'd had a leisurely breakfast, we would paddle up the river for an hour or so. And then we'd turn around, and sometimes there was a little current to assist us as we paddled back, hungry for our lunch. One of the interesting things about the Burnett River is that it's one of the few places that you can find lungfish, also known as ceratodus, in their natural habitat. Now, lungfish are fascinating because not only do they breathe using gills like other fish, they also have the ability to surface and take air into their single lung. Well, as we paddled on the river, we were always on the lookout to see if we could spot a ceratodus, a lungfish. Now, when you paddle a canoe, you can sit at the front and propel the boat through the water. You can sit at the back, and if you're at the back, it's your job to steer. Or you can sit in the middle. And, you know, if you sit in the middle, it doesn't matter if you paddle at all. You can just be there looking out for whatever's in the water. And in our case, it was lungfish. Well, once when my sister was in the canoe, she had the great spot of being in the middle. She'd had a good morning. She'd seen a number of lungfish. And then suddenly, another kind of fish jumped out of the water and landed in the canoe on her lap. Now, if you're a fisherman, you know that's a good day. You get to boast about this big fish that you've caught with no effort at all. If you know fishermen, they always have a tale to tell about that big fish that they caught, or the huge one that got away. Well, since we're talking today about the power of words, I suppose you're thinking that I'm going to say, remember to tell the truth. Well, yes, if you're a fisherman, pray that the Lord would help you catch a big one so you don't need to lie. Well, we'll get to that later. But firstly, we're going to look at the use of words. Next, we'll look at the effect of words. And lastly, we'll look at how we can apply what we learn to our lives. So let's launch in and look at the effect of words. Now, in the time that this letter was written, the Jewish people of that time would have heard the message of James as it was read to them in the synagogues, in the nations that they were scattered. The historical evidence shows that people at that time, most people, couldn't read or write, but they could listen well. They were good listeners. So the message of James was likely shared by public oral reading, much like Pyong read it to us today, and also through individual sharing. So the recipients of James's letter heard the word that he shared. The words were spoken and they were heard. Now, if you have a message that you want to communicate today, there are a lot more channels of communication available to us. So you can speak the word, you can hear words, you can read words or in books and in publications, you can write words, you can text words, you can type words, you can see them on a screen, or you can hear them using various audio devices. Words are all around us. And this passage for James, because words are so common in our lives today, this passage from James is so relevant to us. So, let's have a look at this passage. It begins in verse 1 by saying, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Now, being a teacher is a great responsibility. Whether you teach children, youth, or adults, it's a great responsibility to guide people. And it highlights the accountability that is required for teachers and leaders, and also the great scrutiny that can result. Teachers of the Word of God are held to a higher standard by both God and people, and they can be judged more harshly. Anyone ever had roast pasta after listening to a sermon? I can join with James in verse 2 where he says, "Indeed, we all make many mistakes." I know I've made many mistakes with my words over the years. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Words are all around us. We hear them, we speak them, we write them, we read them. Words are powerful. In the Bible, we hear that Jesus is the Word of God. In John 1:1, Jesus is identified as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, we see that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In Revelation 19, verse 13, we also see that Jesus is the Word of God. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Jesus spoke the world into being. He cursed a fig tree, and then it shriveled up. He spoke healing into being. In verse 33, verse 9, we see, "For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Likewise, our words have the power to bless or to curse, to bring life or death, to change a destiny. Wasn't that beautiful song that the life group sang about being able to dream God's dream and walk into his destiny? While all words make an impact, Proverbs 18:21 tells us that the tongue can bring death or life, and those who love to talk will reap the consequences. This verse really highlights the significance of the spoken word and the influence that that has. In Genesis 31, we hear about Joseph. Sorry, not Joseph, Jacob. Now, Jacob and who was gathering his family, and they were about to leave his father-in-law, Laban. They did this secretly. But then Laban gets wind of it, and so he comes after them. And when he catches up with them, he asks Jacob, he says, "Why, Jacob, did you steal the household gods?" But Jacob answered Laban, "I was afraid, because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. But if you find anyone who has your gods, that person shall not live. In the presence of our relatives, see for yourself whether there is anything of yours here with me. And if so, take it." Now Jacob did not know that Rachel, who was his wife, had stolen the gods. Further on in Genesis, we hear that Rachel, on the way, was having difficulty giving birth to a son. And then in chapter 35, verse 19, we see that Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Words like Jacob's careless ones can bring about terrible consequences. However, in Proverbs 26, verse 2, we learn that a curse without a cause shall not alight. So just like a bird that doesn't land, if there has been a curse spoken over someone who's not guilty of the offence, it will not settle on them or harm the intended person. Just as a flitting sparrow or a flying swallow doesn't land, so the curse does not have the power to land. I want to ask you, have you ever been the recipient of words that were meant to bribe you, manipulate you, or flatter you? In Psalm 55, verse 21, it says, "His talk was as smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords." Words can be like arrows or darts fired at you, or like swords. Have you ever felt the stab of someone's words? They can be painful to hear. Psalm 64, verse 3 tells us, "They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim cruel words like deadly arrows." The one who speaks rashly is like a piercing sword. Do you ever remember a time, perhaps as a young child, where words pierced you? You may have been, someone may have said to you, words that just cut you. They might have told you that you were useless, that you were slow, that you were difficult, that you were annoying, that you were ugly or overweight. The second part of that verse tells us, "But the tongue of the wise brings healing." In contrast to words that pierce, have you ever had words spoken over you that are life-giving? And yet, life-giving words can sometimes be hard to hear. because they talk about your destiny. And to walk into your destiny, sometimes you've got to let go of something so that you can walk into your destiny. Proverbs 16, verse 24 says, "Gracious words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Now, as we've been looking at the use of words, we've started to see some of the effect or the impact that words can have. Well, we're now going to look at the effect of words. Now, I have a little object lesson for us, and I need a volunteer. Is there someone who's brave enough to come and do a little volunteer job for me? No brave people. Oh, yes, come on down. Thank you very much. Now, what I have here is a tube of toothpaste. I'm going to give you that. Now, this tube of toothpaste, I'm actually just going to squeeze it onto this tray. Now, what I'd like you to do is take the toothpaste and could you put it back into the tube for me? You can use that stick if you like. It's a bit of a challenging task, isn't it? I mean, we haven't got all day. Can you get it in there? You're not having much success, are you?
No.
Thank you so much for trying. You know, words are like toothpaste. You know, the toothpaste, it comes out of the tube, but can you get it back in? No, it's almost impossible. And words are the same. Once words have been spoken, they can't be unspoken. Power has been unleashed. And words can affect each of us in different ways. Have you ever been affected by words spoken to you? Or perhaps you've been crushed by words that you wanted to hear that weren't spoken. Let's think back to my story about paddling in the canoe. Now, if you were in the middle, you got to sit in the canoe in the middle, didn't have any work to do. You could just look around and enjoy the ride. If you were at the front, your job was to propel the canoe through the water. You had to do the hard yards. If you sat at the back, you also had to work to propel the canoe through the water. But you also had to steer. It was your job to set the direction. The position of the oar set the direction. Now, if you're in a boat with a sail or a motor, it's the rudder, the little tiny part, the rudder, that determines which way you go. Now, in our passage today, we hear about some of these little things that set the direction. So let's go back and look where we're up to in James. So in James 3, verse 3, it says, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships, for example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts." So just like the rudder is what sets direction of a big ship, and with a bit that you put in a horse's mouth, you can turn the whole horse and get it to go wherever you want it to. So the tongue sets the destiny of a person. A tongue can change the destiny. The words that are spoken can affect people and make them do something or stop doing something because of the impact of those words. When we consider the effect of words, the first thing we need to do is realise that everyone is different. People are different in the way they feel. They're different in the way they express emotions. They're different in their level of self-awareness, in their level of offence, or their ability to take a joke, and just in their general sensitivity. And, you know, being a sensitive person doesn't necessarily mean that the person's wrong. Actually, being sensitive can also relate to being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. People are also different in how they interpret things. Often it can be through a veil of deception or from a place of low self-worth. If we continue in James, it says, "Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." While the tongue is a small thing, it can make grand speeches. In just a few words, a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and an uncontrolled spark can destroy the entire forest. Words can wound, and even our well-intentioned protective words can be wrong. Just like Peter's words when Jesus responds to him and says, "Get behind me, Satan, you're a stumbling block. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." You know, as a mother, I've been like Peter at times. I've had concerns for my children's well-being. Rather than asking God, what's his concerns for them? 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." And you know, a tongue under the devil's control roams around looking for someone to devour. It has an inbuilt need to guard its own territory, to destroy rivals, and to be king. Love is a human need. We all need to feel love, and we all need to have words of encouragement. But some people can be crushed because they haven't been receiving, or they haven't been able to receive, the love and encouragement that they need. So for some people, that crushes them. For others, they'll do whatever they can to hear that encouragement. And that can include lying, deceiving, hiding truth, and hiding mistakes. Perhaps you can relate. As we saw earlier, words can also bring life. Gracious words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Take a look at that picture of the honeycomb. Do you see the honeycomb there? It's just made up of all these little hexagonal cells that are all subjoined together. And inside those hexagonal cells is where the honey lands. The honey is inside those little parts. And, you know, for some of us, we mightn't be able to hear those beautiful, sweet words because the encasing is fractured by hurt, by pain. Sometimes it just dribbles through and we don't realise these beautiful words that are spoken to us, these words that are meant to help us on our journey. When I was a girl, I used to like dressing up. My mum would have all these items and I'd put them on and I'd pretend that I was older than I was. I'd walk around in high heel shoes and all the other little bits and pieces that I'd try to make myself look older than I was. Once I decided that I just needed to complete my outfit, so I went to my mum's dressing table and I pulled out her lipstick. Now, I'm not sure how well I put it on myself. I can't remember any of that. But what I do remember is as I went to put it away, I don't know if it was I wasn't very coordinated at winding the lipstick down and putting the lid on. I don't know. But something happened and the lipstick was damaged as I put it away. Well, I thought, yeah, I've got to tell Mum. So I very bravely went and told my mum that I damaged her lipstick. I don't remember what happened. I don't remember whether she got me in trouble for touching her lipstick in the first place. I don't remember what she said about the fact that I damaged it. But what I do remember is that when I confessed to her what I'd done, she said to me, "Thank you for coming to tell me. I now know I can trust you." Oh, my mum trusts me. I'm trustworthy. That has always stayed with me. So let's consider how we can apply what we are learning to our lives. How many of you at some point in your life have gone to see the doctor? Most of us have probably had to do that. And have you ever gone and they've said to you, "Open your mouth," and they use a little tongue depressor, and then they make you say, "Ah." You know, doctors can see a lot about our physical health by looking in our mouths. And did you know, it's interesting, but our mouths also provide quite a good indication of our spiritual health. What comes out of our mouth is usually a good indication of the health of our heart. Now, if we look at this passage from James, it says all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. You know, if our hearts are not pure before the Lord, poison will flow from us. And the natural state of our tongues is actually out of control, evil and inconsistent. James illustrates this by saying, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be." Then James illustrates the contradiction of our words by saying, "Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." It's interesting. James gives us no indication, no instructions of how to fix this problem of our wayward tongues. Earlier in James, he says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." In Hebrews 4, verse 12, we see, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." The word penetrates to our inmost being, to the hidden parts, and reveals the true intentions of our hearts. This verse shows us the convicting power of God's word that it exposes in order to transform. We can become accustomed to polluting influences. In Matthew, we see that Jesus says, when he's talking to the Pharisees, "Whatever is in your heart determines what you say." And a bit later on in Matthew, he says, "But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you." And in Luke, we see the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So keeping our hearts pure is key to taming our tongue. So how can we influence our hearts? Well, we can stay in the Word. We can be sanctified by the Word. Above all else, guard your heart, Proverbs 4 tells us, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. And in Colossians, we learn that we are to let our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each one. We learn from the medical profession that prevention is better than cure. It's easier to stop something happening rather than having to repair the damage. So how can we prevent the tongue unleashing damage, or prevent our eyes and ears from seeing and hearing and being affected by what we see and hear? Well, here's a few little ideas of ways to guard your heart. Firstly, negate untruths. If you hear something said, you can easily just say, I negate that word in Jesus' name. If it's not true, we don't need to accept it. But if we let it come into us and become part of us, it changes the way we act, the way we think, the way we respond to life. It's also important for us to forgive destructive words. Because as soon as you forgive them, if you give them to the Lord, you can let go of them. They don't have any hold over you. Many of us have spoken words that are sin. They're just words that are not right. Another thing that we can do to guard our heart is to ask the Lord for forgiveness for where we've spoken words that are sin. Words that curse people, words that curse ourselves. We need to ask the Lord for forgiveness. Another more challenging thing is to ask the Lord to help us protect our eyes and ears. But we have a part to play in that. Words are all around us. And we have a part to play in choosing how we take on what we see, what we hear. And that's a really hard one in today's world, because we can't even avoid seeing and hearing things, but we need to ask the Lord to help us to weigh up the elements of truth, to be in the Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So the servant of God is thoroughly equipped for every good work. Using the Word of God to weigh up what we see and hear is very powerful. Something that is a challenge for all of us is where there are barriers. Those barriers, there's different things that can be barriers to us hearing words in the right way. Now, I don't know about you, but throughout life, there's been many times where I've felt that I've been judged. You might be the same. But because of the way we've perceived things, that can make us hear words in a certain way. If you've felt judgment in your life, that's something that you need to deal with the Lord, so that you don't continue to hear everything as a judgment against you. And then jealousy. Well, someone always looks like they've got life easier than us, haven't they? They've got more things, easier life, better opportunities. But the Lord can help us have joy in Him. And the final barrier that I've mentioned there is pride. I don't know about you, but for me, that's an area that the Lord has really had to work on me. Now, it's not like that big, arrogant pride that puts themselves forward and spruiks off a whole lot of things. It's that inner pride that the Lord has had to keep chipping away at. And I just put that there for you to to deal with the Lord, to just ask him, are there things that I need to remove so that I can hear words and take them in the way that I should? Our words are not random, but a direct result of what is residing within us, within our hearts. And this highlights the importance of having a loving and righteous heart, because that will be reflected in our speech. Now, I also want to mention blind spots. Sometimes we can speak in love and truth, and yet the hearer does not hear it in the same way that we've tried to speak it. They hear it out of hurt and pain and past experiences, and they can't appreciate that they have any faults. Words of correction from others point out our blind spots. If there is selfishness in the heart of the presenter or the hearer, it can be really hard. And the Holy Spirit needs to transform people before they can speak or hear truth. Brendan Manning alleged that in every encounter, we either give life or we drain it. There's no neutral exchange. Words are all around us, and often we don't remember to speak life. But once you start, you can see God's character all around you, and you can see it being expressed. If life's not going well, we need to change what we're speaking, what we're hearing, what we're reading, what we're writing and texting. There is great power in the spoken word. So we need to declare God's promises over ourselves and receive his victory. So let's consider these questions. What is God saying to me today? And what am I going to do about it? Let's come together in prayer. Lord, you know each of us, and you know the experiences that we've had in life thus far. Lord, for some of us, hearing about words is challenging. It brings up situations where we have felt bribed, manipulated, or that words have been used to flatter us so that we will do what people say. Lord, we acknowledge that we are all sinners, and Lord, we can't on our own keep a tight rein on our tongue. We need you to help us with that. Lord, I just pray that for each one of us here today, if there's been words that have affected us and they've stopped us walking into the destiny that you've had for us, Lord, I pray that you would help each person here to be able to take that to you, to be able to give those words to you, so that they can live life free of things that pull them in the wrong direction. Lord, where we have spoken words that are wrong, words that are sin, Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to ask for your forgiveness so that you can free us. And Lord, help us to stay in the word so that we can live for you and make our words speak life. Lord, thank you that you are with us, that you lift us up to new levels, that your word speaks of our great destiny. And Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to find the words that you have specifically for us. Lord, we thank you for your greatness, and we thank you that you are the word of life. And we lift these things to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746361144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.